Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to Propaganda. This is the show where we find out what's been said about Leeds United. It comes in two parts. First of all, we find out what has been said about Leeds United by our fans. We're doing two games in this. It's Brighton and Palace. Possibly a little bit of contrast there. Should mention this is brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. We have audio and video as well, so find us on YouTube. Find us on your podcast app, and let's get into it then. Our TSB Plus subscribers sent us their feedback on the match balls. We should say we're recording this Wednesday lunchtime, so barely, 12 hours since we've left last night.
I do feel like I was in this room minutes ago, I have to say.
Which we were. Did you manage much sleep after Palace?
It was about 2, I think, when I got to sleep.
3 o'clock for me.
Yeah, I was the same. I went a bit delirious when I went home. It sort of hit me, and I just realised how fried my brain is.
Got a bit giddy, didn't it? Yeah, and then I woke up at 6 when the dogs wanted to go out, so that was a bit grim.
Actually, I nearly made my kids late for school, because I was just like, another five minutes, and then I forget how uncooperative they are when it comes to being like, because for me, half an hour is enough time to leave the house, like, it's fine, but when you're like, no, honestly, you need to hurry up.
Yeah, you're 5 now, you need to take responsibility for yourselves.
They're eight, they'll be fine, they can walk soon.
Yeah. They can't walk yet?
To school, not in general.
Anyway, the general theme post-Brighton was that the world was awful, wasn't it?
It was both on our feedback form, on Twitter, I looked on Wacko. The theme was either people being pissed off that we're not very good anymore, and then other people were pissed off at the people who were pissed off, saying they shouldn't be because this is actually good and we're being really ungrateful and there's nothing wrong actually. And it was essentially that you and Moscow represented, I feel, right, in the argument you had.
God, it feels like a lifetime ago.
It does, doesn't it?
I mean, Rick Hall has been digging me out as well, suggesting stop trying to start arguments and sensationalise things, which is not what he's come to expect from us. Well, sorry, that's me told, isn't it? But the point is, right, you can't ignore like the issues that are there in this side. And even with Palace, and Palace was a great win and stuff, but we all know that we're a bit toothless going forward, don't we?
Mm.
So I'm not going to ignore things that, you know, when questions need asking, they're going to need asking. And with games like Brighton, where we were toothless all over the park, you've got to sort of ask about it, haven't you? I mean, I can't pretend stuff's not happening.
And if you don't ask about it, someone else will be annoyed that you've not asked about it. People will be like, why are you just pretending we don't need a striker when we don't need a midfielder when we clearly do? You're like, oh, but then it annoys someone else. So, and it's because we're not winning games. Everyone's edgy.
And this as well, Rick. Stop trying to sensationalise things. Mainstream, trying to appeal to a different audience. No, I'm not. There's not that much cynicism or thought goes into it. I'll just say what's in my head. That's how it works. Like we're trying to become
Rick,
Arsenal.
He's useless. He's not trying to appeal to anyone.
We're trying to become Arsenal TV or fucking Johnny United, as he puts it. Keep up the good work. Though. That's that's the sign off at the end, which means I do like you, but don't be dickhead. We're not trying to be dickheads.
We were really, well, look, I mean, I was sat here like an awkward child listening to his parents argue. So, yeah.
And the thing is, you know, like it's just shooting from the hip on the match ball. There's no preparation for it. I feel glum after we lose or don't perform well, and I feel giddy when things are great like last night. But you know, we were a penalty away from the same result from both games, weren't we? So thanks, Rick, but I will be ignoring you. Aiden wasn't happy, was he? I'm just looking at the comments from Aiden about everything being awful.
Kit is shit. He did pick out a few positives in fairness, but just saying times we were worried, and Philip saying, "Good God, we were awful." In the circumstances, that was a good 0-0.
The kit doesn't need mentioning.
Had you said we were managed by Big Sam for that Brighton match, I wouldn't have argued with you.
I'm against the lilac kit, I'm afraid to say. That's my mind made up.
Yeah.
And I warned in the run-up to this, having played it on FIFA, it's not good on the eyes. It wasn't good on the telly either.
And we've not played well in it yet, have we? I don't think.
No, but we're unbeaten in it as well.
We're unbeaten in it.
Played Newcastle, didn't we?
Is that, are they two?
Newcastle and Brighton.
Well, they were both bad.
Bad vibes, anyway.
I got bad feelings from both of those games. Yeah, and a point is a point was made by several people as well. The Toblerone, Mad Ken Starling. Mm. I don't know who that is. Is that a fictional character, Mad Ken Starling? Or is he just mad? I don't know. Ender and Hilt as well, all just kind of saying it was a bit of a scraped and slightly undeserved point. But we did get a point.
We did, yeah. And, you know, we said, didn't we, last night on the match ball for Palace, it looks better now we got that three against Palace.
Yeah, and Mad Ken making the point that...
I like to think he's acquired that name in the local pub, by the way. He's known as Mad Ken just in local circles.
After a glassing or something.
Someone sits in his seat.
That's Mad Ken's seat, don't sit there.
But yeah, he was making the point, so maybe we would need to change our mentality a slightly, because we weren't great, but then we did draw against a team that's been in the top 10 all season, and they beat us twice last year. So, yeah. The fact is we should have lost, I guess, the thing. If we'd have got a deserved point, I'd be maybe more on board with it. But as it was, we left with a point because...
You don't always get what you deserve in football with Palace, no.
Do you know what? I think, well, I mean, we'll talk about Palace in a minute, but on reflection, I don't think they really did deserve anything from that game. I think we did. I convinced myself on the way home. I was thinking about it and watching Palace clips this morning. I was thinking, actually, yeah, they didn't have much, did they?
No.
So, and owning Christian Benteke is reason enough to not score goals.
Forshaw picked out as a positive point as well down at Brighton, particularly his running. He did more running for us than anyone else. Was it for this whole season?
For the whole season.
That's a lot of running for a man who's got broken hips.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned it on the match ball because I noticed he just seemed to be constantly sprinted about the place. And he was his top of the season. I think Calvin against Burnley, I think, was second, but he was a good like half kilometre behind him, I think.
And then he did it all again last night as well for 90 minutes, which is, I guess, the most surprising thing. I think even Bielsa wasn't expected him to be this fit and this good for two games in a row in the space of 4 days or whatever it is.
And just to prove the point we were making above with Rick about, you know, horses for courses and all that, sinking feeling, the ever positive sinking feeling suggested there was too much laughter and too many smiles on the match ball. And after that performance, it should have been outright misery. If you can't say anything miserable, don't say anything at all. But there you go.
He also said he felt like I'm being badgered into being more positive than I am. Let him drown in pessimism. Let him suckle from the teat of gloom. As we all know, this season is going to get worse.
As it did last night. But, you know, it's just the case, isn't it? You ride the wave. And we were talking about it last night on the Palace match ball about at some points I'm making peace with the idea that the Championship's the best place for us, you know, during that game. And then before you know it, by the end, I'm like, yes, we're never going to Championship again. This is brilliant. You know, so
he probably is right in that I am occasionally pushed into being more positive than I naturally am. But I think that's a good thing because I'm aware that my levels of negativity are not always helpful.
You're trying to appeal to a different audience now you've gone mainstream and now you're on YouTube. Sick of it.
People who've known me for a long time will know I've always been a miserable bastard.
Just be authentic, Michael. Otherwise, Rick will be on digging you out.
Well, you've taken it personally. Rick, I thought your criticism was fine. You just keep it short next time. Just say Dan's a dick. And Moscow.
Yep. Absolutely fine. He's not here to defend himself, so more Moscow than me, probably, I think. Llorente, Zach had a word about that, saying we were too soft on him for his performance at Brighton. But then again, you know, he was dead good last night, so, you know, yin and yang and all that. Melier, again, a theme I'm sure we'll run through these. Picked out as being great by Webby, and loads of hero nominations in for him, which we'll do on the main weekly show. Bielsa.
Yeah, getting some criticism. And some from, in fairness, some from last night as well, even though we won. Just concern. Essentially, it's all it is. People are just a little bit.
I know you hesitate then trying to find the right word.
Well, I don't want anyone to. No one is outright slagging him off, I think, is the thing, because everyone's still.
Well, he's a sacred cow, isn't he? You can't say anything bad about Bielsa, and I don't want to say anything bad about Bielsa.
Yeah, but I think he's just saying that Peter's making the point that his selection of Firpo and Rodrigo. were maybe not particularly justified.
Mm.
But then again, you're assessing that after we saw them play, I suppose. And it didn't work, did it? And Firpo had a disastrous
and much the game. Same as we were judging them based on Palace after they came on last night. And like Firpo was much, much better, wasn't he? Even Phillips got a little bit of a knock from Grumpy Git Kev, saying he's out of sorts. What do we think?
He's had a big bust up with Bielsa, I've heard.
Yeah, you? Fact. I think that's been established now, hasn't it? We've got to say controversial things now we're doing this mainstream thing.
I had a rumour that he went into his desk and did a shit in one of his drawers.
Is that true?
That well, it is a fact. And then Bielsa sparked him out, and that's why he's got the cut on his eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's all fact.
Is that verified?
Yep.
Is that something? A Thorpe Arch source has confirmed?
Calvin told me.
Oh, right.
And Bielsa. Mm-hmm. They both told me in person.
It sounds like something that happened in a previous workplace that you just had. Very quickly got to that.
No, they're never proven. But no, there doesn't seem to be any fallout. Calvin, in fact, after yesterday's game was, you know, trying his best, clearly, to get rid of this as a rumour, wasn't he?
Yeah.
In praising Bielsa. But he never said anything bad in the first place.
No, it was what he didn't say, wasn't it? And people took what he didn't say as the real truth of the matter. Because why did he play you back there? Don't really know. And as Moscow pointed out, he's done this in a lot of interviews. He'll, you know, he's kind of just humble and kind of, well, I don't really know. I just follow the instructions kind of vibe about it all.
It was just him being himself, wasn't it? Which, yeah. I think is all the more impressive how he came out last night and put it to bed when he can be a little bit awkward in interviews sometimes and not really know. He was like, nah, I've got a message now, which was good.
And I think he has been slightly below par this season, but that's, you know, he's been brilliant for a few years in a row now. So form does go up and down a bit sometimes, doesn't it? And I think in the same way as soon as we play badly, it's a burnout. Bielsa's knackered them all up. Because Calvin is now a star and an England international, I think there's a tendency for people to go towards that. Oh, I think she's too good for it side of things, which maybe it's true, but I don't think it is.
Well, as much as we said it, he was out of sorts. That all started off after the Tottenham game where he was excellent. And then he had one bad half at Brighton among a terrible half among all the players. And it's like, oh yeah, they've got to have fallen out. That's the only.
And the key thing that you've said it there is all the players. No one's been in great sparkling form this season. With the exception probably of Rafinha, who's been the only one to look like, making things happen a lot of the time. And maybe the England stuff was a bit of a distraction in a sense that, you know, it pulled him into that orbit and then he didn't really have a break afterwards. And he's kind of rolled straight through from the tournament into this season.
Yeah, the actual practicalities of playing for England could be an issue, but I don't...
Harry Maguire's dealing with it well, isn't he, this season? So.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the narrative that now he plays for England, he thinks he's too good to play for us and therefore he's playing badly to make some sort of point of not getting a transfer by playing worse. So he has to stay for longer. I don't understand the thinking of it necessarily. Calvin's earned a break, I think, in the same way as, you know, Bielsa has. I don't feel particularly inclined to criticise him yet because he's been dead good for years.
And just to draw a line under Brighton, Chris does point out in the feedback that we did this last season. You know, we were terrible against Brighton in both games, which is fair enough. And we did wonder sometimes maybe just the manager just has a hex on Bielsa. Gary Monk had it. Maybe Potter's got it.
They did counter us pretty well. And I saw I can't remember who tweeted it now, but I saw some of like most progressive yards stats and it was basically Brighton defenders because they...
What does that mean?
It, defenders running with the ball,
right,
which they did well against us. Because
they have not called it DRB.
What's that?
Defenders running with the ball.
Defenders running with the ball. Yeah, his defenders picking up the ball and just running straight through the middle of the pitch, which they did do fairly consistently against us. Good. So that was a bit of a problem. But he does seem to not have his number as such. Well, maybe he does. I'm trying to defend Bielsa. He's not beaten Potter yet, has he? So
yeah, he's not completely like immortal, untouchable, is he?
No. And the thing is with football, you know, it's fine. Sometimes the opposition manager does something that is better than something you would have done,
which isn't fair. We don't like it, but it's also true. But I was going to say before, when I uttered the phrase, none of it matters, and none of it matters because of this. Let's just sit back and bask in this. You'll hear some crowd noise, and then you'll soon realise what's happening. Nice, wasn't it?
That was rough. We should give credit, first of all, it's for United Revolution, UR_ Leeds on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's where that clip came from.
Yeah.
Where else in the world can you shout like that? It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah!
I mean, yeah, I sit here in the cold light of daylight. I popped into little Asda near me and dropped off a parcel earlier on. I won't behave like that in there. No. But you can do in Elland Road, can't you?
Even if good things happen elsewhere, you can't shout like that, can you?
No.
You get like you find a fiver on the floor, you're not allowed to pick it up, but yeah! Yes! School reports home. He's doing. He's top of the class. Don't scream about it, do you? It's something very primal about it. But yeah, it was a lovely moment.
It was very nice. Although there was a lot of suffering attached to it last night. Just nerves shredded. And I think this is from Philip rather than the Lord himself, but it says Philip dash Jesus Christ.
That Palace game nearly shredded me. We were good. We weren't good. We battled. We looked like we bottled it. And then Rafa, cool as a million icicles, scored the penalty. Jesus Christ, this season might kill me.
I think Phil Hay tweeted something to that effect, didn't he, last night?
Mm.
And it is, I've kind of, and I think Moscow's actually mentioned it in his match report today on the blog. I've come to terms with the fact it's going to be a bit of a grind this season and it's going to be a battle, but it's quite fun as well, isn't it, at times? You know, when it goes in your favour, it's quite fun.
For the brief minute at the end of the game.
Yeah, but that's as we said last night, these are the moments we live for.
Yeah, East Lower Paul saying, I thought we just about deserved the win, but my God, every game is still an effort. My heart can't take it. And that is a bit how it feels at the moment. Until we get consistently like a good 6 or 7 points above the relegation zone and we can't see a horrific patch of games on the horizon. If once we get that, it's going to start feeling a bit better and I think we can all relax a bit more, but it just is still all far too tense.
We were talking after Brighton how we're veering from one thing to the other, and I think looking back at the reaction to these two games kind of sums it up, that there's such a wild fluctuation between doom and joy. And I think maybe it's just confusing, isn't it? And I guess there's not a rational explanation to how we've been playing or how this season has gone. So as much as we're trying to reach one or try to find a correct answer, there isn't one, is there? It's just a bit mad, and maybe we need to embrace that, as terrible, as terrifying as it is.
That's the point I was trying to make in relation to, not that it's affected me at all, but Rick's comments about us, you know, changing. We're not changing style, it's just that this is new territory for us. Like, I haven't seen Leeds in the Premier League for however long, 16 years, and I'm just coming to terms with it. Like, last season felt a bit unreal because it was all watched via telly, and then...
It's very, very real now, isn't it?
It is very real.
Which is good.
And it is more of a struggle this season, and it's more difficult, and it's going to be more difficult. Like, I know we're only 2 points worse off than we were this time last season, but it's felt mentally tougher, I think. I don't know about you. Maybe because we're that much closer to it. I don't know.
I think it feels mentally tougher because even though I didn't expect us to maybe be quite as good as we were last year, I think I expected us to be better than we have been.
Yeah.
And it's come as a bit of a wake-up call to me that I'm a bit like, oh no, we could still go down. I thought that the tough bit was getting out of the Championship because we'd spent so long trying to do it. Then last year we made it look quite easy. And so this year I'm thinking, I've got a lot of bookmarks saved, to be perfectly honest, of people who are saying we're going to have second syndrome and go second season syndrome and go down. And I've sort of sometimes look at them and I think, oh no.
What have I done?
They're all right. I'm ready to retweet them all when we're safe.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But the point is, and I think this is the other thing that we're coming to terms with, the other realisation, is that this league's not very good. Look at that table. It's not, you know, we were laughing last night about being closer to the European spots now in terms of points than relegation. It's insane, isn't it? It's insane how average you can be. Like we were saying last night, Rob, Spurs have lost 5 games. And just about everybody, barring the top 3 or 4, have all lost 5 games or thereabouts, because it's just a very mediocre beneath the top lot.
It's interesting that we've been chatting about a lack of cutting edge and, you know, not looking threatening in attack. And then The Athletic published a piece this morning talking about how there's no goal scorers really this season. I think of the players to have scored 5 goals, I think there's 10 in the league. 6 of them are from either Liverpool or Watford, weirdly. And then no one else is really scoring goals. And then Bielsa, in his pre-match press conference, was talking about how the running stats are down across the whole league. Mm. And I don't know if just maybe everyone's a bit broken. And those top 4, 5, 6 clubs have got the wealth where they've just bought and signed quite aggressively and have fixed their squads, which were kind of a bit broken last season. But then everyone else is kind of getting the shit together still.
Just to give it a bit of context on the league as well, if we'd got the penalty at Newcastle, which we definitely should have done, that we should have put us 2 up, we probably would have won that. If we had 2 more points, we'd be 11th now.
Right, exactly.
I know there are games in hand because there are games to be played tonight, aren't there? But still, like, 11th feels...
Everyone's
happy with that.
Everyone in this group is taking points off just about everybody. We haven't got that kind of breakaway 7th, 8th, 9th clutch of teams. Like, Everton are just above us in the league. That's mental, because I thought they looked really good at Elland Road at the start of the season.
But they were fourth after about 3 or 4 games, weren't they? They kind of got off to a good start, and our point, and now it looks like drop points. What are we doing?
Well, Tom says, let's not get complacent. This league might be shit. I'm saying that. But Tom said, we got lucky in different ways in each game with the result. 4 points from these 2 games is okay, but we can't act like it's mission accomplished, as I feel we have done so far this season when scraping a win or a draw. We have a long winter ahead of us. Come on, Tom. Cheer up.
I think he's probably right.
No, he is right.
Yeah, but looking at the games we have coming up, it is it's kind of hard to see where the points are coming from.
But if you're not allowed to enjoy moments in the short term, why are you even bothering with football? You can't always be pragmatic. You can't always say, "Oh well, this is fine." But look, we've got Man City again soon, or Chelsea. I don't care. I'm trying to get the enjoyment out of this. It's so long since we did all this. Mm. I can't remember what I said it to yesterday, but like, I was really looking forward to last night because I've not seen Elland Road under the lights for 2 years or more. And then Premier League, 16 years under the lights. So and just enjoy it.
Those games against City and Liverpool and whatnot, they might be fun as well. You know, like, we don't actually know that or not until it happens. So who knows?
Yeah, Man City away last year, you'd have looked at that and you'd have been like, well, obviously nothing from that.
And the truth is, nobody's getting complacent, are they? Because we are all pointing out that we've got this hard run of games, which is why there's pressure on these to get points.
Yeah, I'm still panicking, if that's any consolation.
You need to be more negative, you need to be less negative, you need to be more mainstream, you need to be less mainstream. All of those things, please. Whatever it is.
You've really taken it badly.
Nah, I'm just running with the theme. Just running with the theme. Clicky, Craig, Timothy, all asking about Clicky, is he broken?
Does seem to be. There was, I think, some the comments from Brighton, I think, about, do you play at Brighton? Christ, I can't remember.
I don't think he did he? He was anonymous.
Maybe it was a previous week, I can't remember. Yeah, it's an ongoing theme anyway, is what's happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, he put in a hell of a shift in the first half against Palace, didn't he? Did a lot of running around without necessarily being effective in terms of link-up play, but he was fine in that, like, in that opening spell when it was all a bit hell for leather in the first 15. I thought he was good.
Yeah, Bielsa singled him out. He went a bit Harry Redknapp. He said he had a big, big, big effort. but yeah, I thought he was fine. I don't know, I'm kind of sympathetic towards Click because I really like him, but... I forgot what I was going to say, so it doesn't even matter.
I think we've cursed him. This morning you've turned the calendar over behind you, Dan, which you can't quite see, but here is a slightly tired looking Click, must be said, on our calendar for this year. I think we've got Rafinha next December, haven't we, on the new one.
That's brave.
Something to look forward to. I think it's because at this point last season, he just had adapted so well to the Premier League, hadn't he?
Bielsa was talking about him playing for a Champions League team, wasn't it?
And then he basically dropped off a cliff after that.
He did, but I don't know if people are still kind of reading into that. That's what I was going to say, was that have we kind of forgotten what Click does and what makes him good? Like, he isn't a guy who dominates a game and gets on the ball and he's passing everywhere and he's spraying it around the pitch. He is kind of a strange, unique player in that he kind of runs about a lot and leads the press a little bit, and then he's just gets on the ball in strange little spaces and he's neat and tidy. But again, like I say, he's not like a foreshore who dominates the ball. So I don't know if people are just maybe forgetting what Click is like in a way.
Yeah, possibly. I think he's not scored in a while either, has he? It felt like there was a time when we could kind of rely on him for a goal. And he seems to have lost some of that threat.
But that was only really like his first 6 months when he was in the team and we started singing that song and then he stopped scoring.
How old is he now? I'm just having a look because I'm just, you know, got to bear in mind he's no spring chicken anymore.
And he has played a lot of football. He just never gets a rest.
He's 31, he's going to be 32 in June.
Maybe we should give him December off. Yeah, we've already said we're not going to win those games. Let him have a rest.
Well, are they going to the World Cup next December? He'll certainly have next December off, won't he? Who else have we got then on the list? Forshaw, about being brilliant and consistent. Aiden and Mad Ken, again, is back, saying that we've got enough players in form as well, including Forshaw. So you've got Dallas, James, Rafinha, all starting to pull their weight. And Forshaw dictated our play all night and never stopped running or showing for the ball. Immense. It was good.
Dallas got a mention as well for cupping Rafinha, which was nice.
Yeah, we missed that, didn't we, last night?
Full time. And it was a riot badger on Twitter. Made a little clip of him and he's Rafinha goes over to him and Stuart Dallas grabs him and says, size of them.
Yeah.
That's what he says to him.
Talking about his cojones.
Yeah. And Adcham does comment as well. Just how big are the bollocks on Rafinha? Very quiet all match. Looked cold. Then stepped up and did that.
I was very proud, actually, of Rafinha turning out in, I know there was a very small corner of Twitter didn't like him in tights at Brighton at all, whereas yesterday he was in short sleeves, no base layer, shorts and socks, admittedly pulled up over his knees like sexy Brazilian stockings. But yeah, he was just out there in your standard garb and running around like a madman.
I thought he was all right yesterday. Someone said he was very quiet, but I thought
Rafinha.
I
think we struggled to get him into the game after that first 15 minutes, but then, as Moscow pointed out last week, you do have to give credit to the opposition. You're not playing against nobody, are you? You're always playing against another team. So
I thought he was quiet too, but then I saw Amazon did a highlights compilation of him and you thought, bloody hell, there's some really good stuff in there. Like, his passing is excellent, which maybe he doesn't get the credit he deserves, but the way he switches play is brilliant. Yeah, you see the highlights back, you think, fucking hell, he's really good.
Yeah, there was that moment when he got it on the right-hand side just in front of the East Stand and there was the switch on and everyone saw it and kind of willed him to do it, but he had a man coming in on this side. So he just cut it back to his left, beat the man, and stuck it over to Dan James. You're like, oh, you're just so good.
It's a very high bar now for Rafinha, isn't it? Mm. That's the thing. If he's not, you know, triple nutmegging someone and sticking it in the top corner, people are like, ah, he was fine, wasn't he?
He got man of the match as well in what was admittedly quite a low quality game, as Ali McCoy put it. Because I watched back the sort of last 10 minutes last night when I was all giddy in the house.
Did some nice dancing too. Some praise for Firpo as well, which I think we should mention, because Matt and Islo Paul both saying how good he was at overlapping with Dan James on the on the left hand side,
and underlapping as well. He managed to get a bit of that going on.
And after the incredibly dodgy start that he'd had coming off the dodgy start and end at Brighton, it felt like it could be a potentially a long half for him again. But as it was, he recovered, and I thought it was. If you can take out the first 2 minutes of his performance, I thought it was great.
Yeah, he finally looked like he'd settled a little bit, didn't he? And he really enjoyed it in the little lap of appreciation.
Just as we shouldn't have written him off after Brighton, we shouldn't equally say he's fixed and everything's fine now after a good 40 minutes here either.
Terrible 45 minutes and a good 40 minutes, and hopefully we'll start to level
out. It was nice for him to do it in the next game as well, so there's not a big wait and a big anticipation of, oh God, Firpo's back, what's he going to be like? It's just like, no, next game he plays, he's fine, cool.
And it taps into what Luke Ayling was saying as well to Phil Hay in that interview that he did about, actually, they quite enjoyed the championship and the games coming thick and fast and playing 50 times a year, because there's always the chance to right the things that have gone wrong. And Leeds probably benefited from that after what was a bit of a turgid performance at Brighton to be able to bring that one out last night. It was far, far better, wasn't it?
It was, in truth as well, it was a fairly kind fixture for us to get, because they're not in great form. A home game that seemed winnable. Like if you're going off the Brighton performance to, you know, Man City away, you do start thinking, oh, well, it's probably not going to be this week we get our form back. But we did have the chance to sort of redeem ourselves fairly quickly, which was well, it's not fortunate because you play everyone, don't you, at some point, but it's just the way it's fallen. But it feels like we've kind of got the Brighton game out of the way. That run of games we've got coming up, if that was coming up after Brighton, you're all of a sudden then going, bloody hell, we really need to beat Brighton because now we've got this.
Whereas it did feel, I think, maybe, like, I mean, I don't know without, you know, scientifically checking this, but the difficult fixtures were a bit more spread out last season. So you'd have one that looked quite difficult, then a two that you think, oh, fair enough, and then, you know, one mediocre, then one really difficult one. Whereas we've got them all put together in a big clumpy. I know we had a couple of testy months last time, but we came through them all right, didn't we? Because we had like Man City and Arsenal. I think we were classing Arsenal as quite good back then.
None of them won at Ellen Road, did they? The big six. So-called
big six, Rob. I think you've got to refer to
the Super League six. Yeah.
What else have we got then? Palace's style was mentioned by Gary Furnival. The time wasting from early on in the second half. And again, going back to Moscow's match report on this, find it on the blog. It's always a good sign when teams start doing this against us, because it means they're basically trying to contain our game rather than impose theirs on us.
Yeah, I think this is one thing I reflected on when deciding whether or not we deserved to win, and we did because of that. They were clearly not particularly bothered about winning it. It was if they get a break and they score, fine, but they were never trying to put sustained pressure or take any real risks to score goals.
I said that last night, I think, that at about 75 minutes you saw that they'd settled for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we deserved
good,
to win.
Good that they got nothing.
The ref, actually, we mentioned Kevin Friend. Soldier Wilson says Kevin Friend had a fair game, gave us a penalty. One of the good things about Bielsa is that he doesn't moan on about the refs, unlike you three Warnocks.
Do you know what? I don't mind fans moaning about refs, but I'm kind of glad Bielsa doesn't.
Yeah.
Even though it might cost us a bit. Mm. I feel like it's refreshing to have him give an assessment of the game without criticising the referee, whereas to go back to Warnock, couldn't, even if you'd lose like 4-0 and he'd still find something to criticise the referee for, and you'd be like, well, not really, Neil. We didn't have any shots and, you know, they had about 40. So maybe not getting a free kick in the 30th minute wasn't the deciding factor.
I don't think we wanted to talk about the ref too much after Brighton anyway, did we? Because we were that bad. We all said, yeah, it's probably not the ref's fault. He might have been a bit irritating, but that's not why we've drawn the game.
Yeah, I think my irritation with refs is quite a low-level one this season. It's just like little things like Klopp being allowed to come onto the pitch and ref that Harvey Elliott incident, and then Zaha in his ear all night. And maybe it's just because our players, by and large, don't get in their ear, but I was dead pleased that they all got up in his grill last night about the penalty.
It's really, to defend referees for a bit as well, I think the whole VAR thing has made their job really difficult, because they're constantly trying to second guess whether they'll let the play go in case a goal's scored, and then if they've stopped it, VR can overturn it, but they don't want to.
You're constantly second guessing yourself.
That's what I mean.
You?
You're no longer just calling the game as you see it at the moment, because you're thinking, right, well, I think he was probably fouled there, but I let it go because the goal might be scored, and I don't want to not let a goal be scored because I've I've stopped the game for something that didn't happen, but then like a team can win a corner off it and it doesn't get pulled back then for that, for the original foul. And then if they score from the corner, that was should have been stopped because of a previous foul.
Yeah.
There's so many things that can go wrong with VAR. I think that it does play on referees' minds, and the guidance they're given has changed quite a bit within the last year as well, I think, of how to use it. So you contrast it to this point last season when it felt like it was being used for every, they were looking at every goal in forensic detail, trying to find a little push or, you know, Patrick Bamford's armpit offside or something. It's all very difficult for them. So
yeah, I think that's fair.
But I've defended him enough. I don't like him.
Yeah, but my irritance comes from like the weakness of free kicks these days. And maybe that's just a legacy of me having grown up during the 80s and 90s, watching people kicking the living shit out of each other. But how easily free kicks are given and bookings are handed out now for fairly innocuous stuff. And it just seems to ruin a bit of the spectacle. But then, you know, we've always bitched and moaned at refs, haven't we? So it's just part and parcel of being a football
fan. It's a good
tradition. Yeah, one we should keep up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In this second half of the show, then, we will find out what's been said by the opposition fans, in this case two lots, Palace and Brighton, which are, they should basically merge, shouldn't they, I think, those two. Just have a new club.
They hate each other. It's such a fierce
in
rivalry.
In fact, they could, thinking about it, we could have Palace and Brighton and Crawley all merged down into one club to be based out of Crawley, couldn't we, halfway between the two?
Yeah, I still don't understand the Palace and Brighton thing. I once watched...
What's the motorway?
Is
it the M23?
And I think I found it so boring, I forgot.
Is it the M23 that joins
them? I don't know. It's one of those weird rivalries. I think they hate each other. It goes back to a particular game, I think, or something. But no one else cares, do they?
No.
Truth be told.
It always gets put on Monday Night Football, does Brighton against Palace.
It's one of those games that I know, I'm aware there's a rivalry there and they do hate each other, but I just can't bring myself to care. Like if it was like, you know, Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Everton, Spurs, Arsenal, the kind of rivalries I can, don't buy into as such, but you can kind of, you'd watch it probably if it was on a Monday night. Whereas Palace Brighton, you just think
it's like you
sort it out yourself.
It's like Gillingham Blue Water or something, isn't it? Them having a rivalry, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like it's fine for you to have your rivalry, but don't expect anyone else.
Let Glenn Murray decide it, and then that's
exactly
fine.
Right. Okay, let's get into the propaganda. Who's Ryan Franklin, and why do we need to know about him?
He's a young YouTube boy from who's a Brighton fan.
Okay, and what is he annoyed about, or what is he happy about?
Mope.
Yeah, I think we've probably got grounds to be annoyed about, given his, you know, inability to finish a football.
Yeah, it's just him getting upset, essentially.
Which is why we're here, isn't it?
Exactly.
I won't lie, witnessing Neil Mope miss a couple of sitters infuriated me. Yeah, really, really dumb and nutted, I'm not going to lie. Obviously, I'm finding it hard to wrap my mind around the fact that we didn't get a goal, but I'm also finding it hard to understand as to why our own fans, Brighton fans, are booing at the end of the game. Like, are we all right? Boys, we're sat eighth in the Premier League. Do you know what class that is? That's so, so good for a team like us. But yes, don't get me wrong, it's infuriating. Yeah, it's disappointing to be stood out there just for a point, yeah, when we really did deserve three. But booing at the end of the game, like, come on, we're better than that.
A team like us. The important words there.
Yeah, yeah. Are people in Brighton Cockneys?
I was going to ask about this. It sounds like he's from that West Ham fan channel.
It's London by the Sea, isn't it, is Brighton, I think.
It's like Denny Dyer. It's Dan Minatin, mate. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't understand what the Brighton accent is necessarily.
Well, from if this clip or what you've put here on the sheet is anything to go by, he thinks he's all right anyway. Would he eat himself for breakfast, maybe? I don't know.
I vlog every home game, yeah, that I go to. I'm always there, got the camera out. You can see me on TV sometimes. The camera's there, boys. I love capturing the moment. I love doing my match day vlogs. They're class. They're brilliant, yeah.
You say so, pal.
They're class, mate. Honestly. You can see them on TV sometimes, which is why we all tune in as well.
Oh, wow. That's Ryan Franklin.
Bloody hell, that's Ryan Franklin. Have you seen his stuff? Class. He told me himself.
The tale of them is they were just dead annoyed at not being able to score, which, you know, the counterpoint to our poor performance is that they couldn't score. And that to me is quite funny.
Enoch on the door in the comments. Last week, he mentioned about none of the players willing to take a shit outside of the box, which was a typo on his behalf. And he was right. There was a lot of problems last week. Players weren't willing to take shots from outside the box. They were trying to walk it in. And as he says, now apparently no one wants to take a shit from 6 yards.
To be fair, Mopay took a lot of shits throughout this game. So he did what he said.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing, isn't it? They weren't really shots. They were more literal shits.
That's Together BHA fan channel.
It's a podcast, is that one, actually.
Oh, is it?
As opposed to the YouTube.
What's this podcasting? Is it going to catch on?
I'm not sure. Not sure, really. If what do you call him? Franklin ever does one, it'd be class. I'd look forward to that.
He'd be there to tell us, wouldn't he?
He calls everyone. He's about, I don't know how old he is. He goes to games with his mum because there's a clip of him in the stadium. He goes, my mum could have scored that. And she sticks red in the side. But he calls everyone son and boys, which I find weird, having like a teenage lad calling me son. feels odd. Anyway, I think Together BHA are an older sort of crowd.
Yes.
And they were annoyed about the ref because they thought Firpo should have been sent off, which, in fairness, I think we kind of agreed with.
Nah.
I can't believe that Firpo was still on the field at halftime, because he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything outrageous. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't just launching himself at the ball. But when you look back, not last year, I think, but the year before, when Aaron Moy was sent off against Villa for those two yellow cards, Firpo committed, if that's the barometer, Firpo committed like 4 yellow card offenses in that first half, or at least enough to get 2. Last week, we had the opposite problem and the ref was blowing up for everything. What is going on here? We've been told time and time again that VAR would make this better, but I feel like week upon week, even if it goes in our favour, the refs are just less and less consistent every single week.
Well, there was that one part where Trossard was just being held and hacked and his boot came off and he had to stop the game himself to actually have the ref stop play and just sort of stared at the linesman. It's just so many stupid decisions. There was around 16 minutes or so, there was a free kick, well, should have been a free kick for a foul on Lamptey outside the box. I just wrote down shit ref.
Going back to the ref chat, it's the old pastime, isn't it, of ref bashing? Because we bashed the ref for allowing Trossard to ref that incident.
No, I think yeah, we did. But,
we did.
No, we did. We were sort of making the same point, though, as they were, I think, in that...
He was just waiting for someone to tell him what to do.
Yeah. He wasn't in control of the game himself. He was like, oh, someone else just tell me when it's a free kick. I can't work it out myself. It's really difficult.
Anyway, they thought we were shit.
For a team that is supposed to work incredibly hard, Leeds seemed incredibly lazy at taking care of those wing-backs.
Leeds were abject. They were horrendous. And we said before we got on here that, for me, I've not seen an opposing performance as lackadaisical as that since we played Watford. Like, completely just didn't look like they could be bothered to be there, which is, you know, a weird thing to say about the anointed Bielsa squad. They were second to every single ball. They didn't seem to ever want to actually press. And they only really ever got into the game when we sort of fell off a little bit around the 80th minute when our players were just exhausted.
Long game. Didn't beat us though, did you? That's the important bit.
Yeah, it's hard to find anything to particularly argue with. And he was right, in saying that we picked out Harrison as well, didn't we, for not helping out Firpo, particularly in that game when he was very clearly getting destroyed every single minute of it. But yeah, they were relatively reasonable, weren't they? Should we hit some angry Palace fans?
Yeah, let's do that. So who's this Tristan 03? Is he the third Tristan?
I don't know. He was doing a watch along on a sofa with. I don't know if it was his dad or. I'm sure at some points in this.
Is it not his crew?
At some points, I think he calls him dad, but then he gives him. There was another point where he called him by his name.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. Do you call your dad by his name? I never have.
No, but my lad does. Sometimes he'll call me Daniel.
Does he?
Yeah. Just don't know why.
Just to wind you up.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I hope I'm his father.
Well done. But this was the Benteke miss, and he just doesn't want to hear. There's a nice little dynamic going on between them, and he's seen Benteke miss, and he just doesn't want to talk about it or hear about it.
We do.
Oh, he missed it! Oh, my days! Come on, there's a flipping sub. Oh, no.
I can't even watch it again.
It's died. Oh, bruv.
That's it.
No, don't.
You're not
stop.
Gonna,
can
not,
you stop?
No, I don't
want to
hear
it. I don't want to hear it. You will not get another chance like that again. I don't want to hear it. Don't
want to
hear it, Dad. I swear to God.
There's some brother and some dad in there. Is this sort of a Holy Trinity Jesus thing?
Who knows? But he's trying desperately to say, that's it, we're not going to win now. And he's like, oh, shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
That noise that he made in the middle as well, that exasperated noise.
He just combusts.
Yeah, great. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Eagle-eyed football. Now, we've got a number of clips from eagle-eyed football. And what is this? Is it a watch-along? Is it a fan channel? What's the beef here?
Yeah, it's a watch-along. At points, someone pops up on this who's sat in an Indian restaurant eating a curry, which is great. He was only on for a few minutes.
What, like on Zoom or something, or FaceTime?
Yeah, he's got FaceTime in. You think, oh, he's eating his tea, fair enough. Then you can see in the background, you're like, he's obviously sat in a curry house. And he's called into this watch-along, which is quite good. But there's only really one bloke who talks on this, and he's a bit odd. He's sort of geeky, and I don't know if you've ever seen a guy called Alistair Green on Twitter. He does like funny little characters. He reminds me of one of his characters, and there's something very like class geeky about him, and the way he delivers his lines and stuff. I found
Do you reckon you could take him?
Do you know what, I wouldn't often say it, but yes.
Right, so what's this opening clip?
This is him, well, the first couple actually, him criticising our physical style of play.
Good.
Sorry. I just want to remind Leeds, we're playing football. That's not a conversion. We're not playing rugby now. Someone's trying to go for a field goal. No, sir. We're playing football.
Yeah, you could have him. Modern football fans, you could take him. Right, go on then, second clip.
You stood your ground, he says. Lol. Okay. Sure, mate. Sure, Cooper. You stood your ground, yeah. Let me just turn my body in and elbow Wilfred Zaha right in the gut. Yeah.
Poor Wilfred. The whole world's against him, isn't it? Everyone's against Wilf.
Are these the Palace Ultras you were chatting about last night?
That'd be the ones. Yeah. That's just something about... He said lol in a bit of a... You've mentioned before about our squad being good blokes and going for the pint test.
Yeah.
You going for a pint with him?
With him?
Yeah. He's got blue hair as well. And he's criticising Yorkshire folk.
He's got blue hair. Blue hair?
Blue hair.
Blue hair. And he's criticising us, is he?
Not us in particular, but... The people
this
of Yorkshire.
This is why you want to take this bitch down, isn't it?
It's Minion Man. He will now forever be called Minion Man. And he's got a missing tooth. Because of course he has. Because this is Yorkshire. Of course he's got a missing fucking tooth.
Is it a missing tooth or is it the gap?
It's Yorkshire. It's a missing tooth.
Yeah, it's all like one big Hovis advert here, isn't it? Christ.
Adam Forshaw had some teeth out, didn't he?
He did.
He watching the football.
Voluntarily as well, if the story is to be believed.
Should have had some front ones out. They were at the back, weren't they?
Like go for the David Hopkins.
Yeah, just get a bit of. You don't get like a terrifying Nobby Styles midfield enforcer with missing teeth anymore.
It's all 4K Instagram and stuff like that these days, isn't it? You don't want a sort of terrifying, half bald, wild eyed man with no teeth. We mentioned in the other half of it, was it Mad Kev we were saying? Somebody who's known as Mad Kev in your midfield. That'd intimidate Palace, wouldn't it? Right.
Anyway. He's been quite cocky at this point, anyway, and you'll hear his descent into anger as we go further on. But this is them reacting to Melier clearing it off saving it on the line.
Which, by the way, before we play the clip, it's just delicious. Please don't go back and watch it and look at the angle behind the goal where you see Benteke running off to celebrate.
Guys. Goal line. No.
He was just shouting at things that he was seeing on the telly then, wasn't he?
Go line.
That was good.
But then prior to the penalty, Rafa is awarded man of the match by BT. He's not happy with that.
Ali McCoy loves us though, doesn't he? He loves us. Right, let's have a listen.
Oh, Rafinha, man of the match. What? Excuse me? No. Get the fuck out of here. Rafinha is man of the match.
We know how it ended. And it ended with a penalty and a VAR decision.
Should we enjoy this? This is going to be good, isn't it?
The unfolding of VAR decisions is quite pleasing when it's not happening to you.
Can we just have a word? We need to talk about the VAR chant. Do we want to do it afterwards or get it out of the way now?
It's hard, isn't it? Because it's a bit. It kind of goes a little bit back to what we were saying about the players need to complain about it more. Referees are definitely influenced by stuff like that.
Yeah.
It is difficult because I hate VAR and I hate the concept of it. I remember I went to watch some games in America a few years ago where they had VAR before we had it in England, and they were chanting VAR, and I thought, I fucking hate this. I'll never do this in my life.
But
we'll never have this at Leeds.
But look,
and
at
then
the
they all come up for the hand, like, VAR, VAR.
Look at the moment it provided us with last night. But if there's one thing we've learned about this, is that we can be massive hypocrites.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe it's made worse by the fact that it is to the USA, USA song, which has, I don't know, American sport has got a sort of, I don't know, what's his problem?
WWE, isn't it?
Yeah, with English football fans, American sport is looked down upon, possibly rightly so, being a bit glitzy and I don't know.
Can we think of an alternative song we could do?
It needs a good, some swearing in it.
Yeah. Well, let's have a think about that. See if we can think of one before the end of the show. Right, here's the clip.
Oh, no. Shut up. Don't you dare go to VAR. No. Sorry, I'm going to shut up, but...
No, no.
Oh my God! Dare he shut? No, come on, Kevin, friend, do me a favor. Go on, be my friend. I'll be your friend, Kev. Come on, Kev.
Oh, it's gonna be a pen.
Hang on. Kevin, friend is hearing none of this.
It's
Kevin,
pen.
Friend is hearing none of it though.
That's a pen.
Rules it's gonna be AR. It's gonna be AR.
Rules of the game. That's a pen. Oh my.
He's gone to VAR. He's gone to VAR. It's a penalty, guys. It's gonna be a penalty. Fucking hell. Well, fucking shit. Penalty confirmed.
I loved the bit in the middle of that where he's just trying to convince himself that Kevin Friend's not having any of it. No, he's not. He is.
And his mate on the stream's going, he's obviously seen the replay. He's like, that's a pen.
Yeah.
Rules of the game, that's a pen.
And the guy in the Indian restaurant like, jumping into a poppadom or something. Like, I've no idea what's going on, lads. Oh, that was nice. Ah, beautiful.
Anyway, we score.
Yeah, we do.
And he's really enjoying Rafinha's celebrations. This is where he's tipped.
Fuck off, Rafinha. Fuck off, you c***. Fuck off.
Was that when he was dancing?
I think so, yeah.
Can you recreate that for us?
I'll let you.
No, try.
No, it's fine.
Come on.
It's fine.
Play the game.
Why don't you play the game?
What did he do? He did a little touch of the head, couple on the boobies.
That's it.
And then... there was some groin touching, I think. I don't want to do that.
Stuart Dallas did the old groin touching, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's not just Rafinha being a character either.
A character?
It's the Leeds fans.
Because if you do hear bleeps on these, by the way, that's the word that's being bleeped out. It's character. It is the word character.
Oh, these Leeds fans are being The Leeds fans are being now. What a fucking bunch of
He turned it into a song. Maybe that's what we could do for VAR.
At one point as well, I've not got the clip in there, but someone in the YouTube comments asks if he likes Rafinha, and he goes, no, I don't like him. Gets really cross about that too.
Dear me.
But yeah, he's annoyed about us then. And then in this next clip, he seems to be having a go at Leeds fans for not singing and saying how great the Palace fans have been.
Yeah. And they weren't.
No.
They piped up a couple of times, but they weren't out singing us. If that's what the implication is, which I think it is, isn't it?
You only sing when you're winning. Sing when you're winning. You only sing when you're winning. Funny how we've been out singing them all game. I'm not drinking for that fucking crouching.
I think he's got
that crouching character being Bielsa, I presume.
Yeah, I think it's because he's got some sort of thing where the TV, if it shows Bielsa crouching or sat in his bucket, he has to drink or something.
Oh, there's a drinking game, is there?
But then by the end, he's furious and he's not playing anymore.
It's quite a bleak clip, that, just the start of it, a boy on his own singing, you only sing when you're winning, watching his team get beat on Amazon.
Yeah, and when we did. But yeah, in the cop, I can genuinely say, you barely heard them at all.
They piped up a couple of times. They did a CPFC song that I heard from over in the East, but other than that, no. Which is to be expected when there's, you know, 34,000 Leeds fans there and there were 1,400 of them, as I mentioned last night. So, fine, shut up.
Maybe they did well relative to their pathetic numbers abroad.
Well, that was enjoyable, wasn't it? It's always nice when something like that, that feels like such a deep injustice, even though they all know it was a penalty, even though they all know you've just got to take it on the chin.
I mean, anything that's in the last minute, it does sting, doesn't it?
It really hurts, yeah.
But that doesn't mean we can't laugh at it.
No, and that's why we're here.
Some, you know what? Some weeks, the joke's on us, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you've just got
to... It has been quite a lot of weeks.
You've got to take the rough with the smooth on these things.
Yeah, totally.
I think it was Moscow on a podcast ages ago was like, because people were saying, oh, you shouldn't laugh at this. It's like, yeah, of course you should. Yeah,
that's the whole point of it.
Exactly. When you've got to take it when you win, take it when you lose, you gear it out when you win,
yeah,
and it's fine. And at the end of the day, it's just a game of football.
We spent 16 years, taking loads of shit and just having to suck it all up. So now is the time when we get the merest hint of anything we can gloat about, and we should do.
Exactly.
Right then, into the wider world of propaganda now then. So not necessarily Leeds related, but this is the other stuff that's been going on in the world.
Mm.
What have we got? Well, Hecky back in management.
It's not what you think.
It's not.
This clip. Because it'll come. It'll come, don't worry.
Is he? Because obviously he's manager of Sheffield United now. He's going to be doing a lot of pre and post match interviews.
Yep. Whip ball, without ball work. Yep. He doesn't say, I was watching a training session that he'd put on because Sheffield United shared this on their official YouTube channel, which I'm quite surprised at because it's quite, you'll hear some of the language in it.
Is it a bit fruity?
It's quite fruity for a club YouTube channel, but he doesn't mention whip ball without ball.
Right.
But you can just hear the way his sessions go, and maybe all training sessions are like this.
This is the man who paved the way for Bielsa to succeed at Leeds, obviously.
Yeah. But I watched it and I heard it and I thought, it's no wonder the Leeds players didn't listen to him.
Right, let's have a listen.
Boys, one thing has to f***ing change. Rian. Yeah. Reese. We lose a f***ing ball, we win it back. Same in that f***ing square. It's about your reactions. We're all going to f***ing lose the ball. We're going to f*** up every day. Not bothered. Win the ball back. Keep playing. God. Change. Love it, Reese. Different pass. Good, Rian. Change. You're in your last 30 seconds. Good man. Yes! Brilliant, here we go! Here we go!
Sounded to me like they were doing some work initially there with the ball,
mm.
And then when they lost it, they weren't bothered. And at that moment, they were without the ball.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, and trying to get it back.
Mm.
Mm.
They've got 4 years of that, haven't they?
Four and a half, I think.
He's not seeing out that contract, is he?
No.
I know he won his first game, didn't he, actually, but... When he was appointed, I did look briefly at the relegation odds because I thought, if anyone can, Paul can. Sadly, that division's
just
a bit...
something about that. I know we're Yorkshire folk. Just something about that voice. It's just not inspirational, is it? It's not making you get out of bed on a morning and go, oh, I can't wait to get to work to be inspired by the boss this morning.
To be yelled at by an idiot. Anyway, right. Whip ball without wall, it will make a return.
Yeah.
Because he can't resist, can
he? No, of course
it can
not.
Only go so long.
Right, Mr. Miami. Now, who is Mr. Miami? Remind me, we've had him before, haven't we?
Yeah, he was the Wolves bloke who was doing the tour of Leeds. He went for a COVID test.
What's his catchphrase?
It's, you know that's right.
You know that's right. That's the one. Yeah.
He doesn't say it much in this.
All right.
Because he's going for a COVID test.
Yep.
And it's got a nice ending.
Oh, we've all been COVID testing ourselves, haven't we, as well, we should say. So we're all disease-free. Well, the ones we know about anyway.
It's been a few days. I ain't been feeling too good. So I called that 111 number that y'all got in the UK. And they say, hey, book yourself in and go get you a goddamn corona test. So here I go. So I took myself down to my local testing spot. I can't lie. I was nervous as hell. Everybody greeted me. They made me sanitize. I looked at the instructions. Then I had to blow my nose. I wasn't prepared to put anything down my throat like this. I didn't think it was going to be this damn bad. I even had to do it all over again because the first swab got too wet. I can't lie. Sam really helped me out because the countdown made me understand how time was really going. I just couldn't believe I had to put the same thing in my nose that was in my mouth. Then it was time to bag it and tag it, baby. One thing I'm going to always do is smile. I looked across the street and saw Greg's and I was like, I got to have some. I know I got me a Ribena and a couple sausage rolls and some yum yums. I did not expect to get a positive result. God damn.
It's the stuff like the Ribena and the yum yums and stuff, the really British part of it all.
He's also gone into Greg's with COVID, clearly, because afterwards he's been like, oh, that was positive. And after he's just
gone, you know that's right.
After he's just admitted to going into Greg's. But then when he's going, I did not expect it to be so bad.
The sound of a man gagging.
The first swab was too wet as well, he said, which was gross.
What is his YouTube channel? Is this meant to be Wolves' YouTube channel?
Well, he was I think he started, he's a TikTok person, but then Wolves got him doing stuff on the YouTube channel for their away games. He'd do like a little tour of cities and stuff, who they were playing away. So we're like, yeah, the Leeds one, he went to the Thackeray Medical Museum, he went to get afternoon tea. What else was he doing? It was good. I enjoy him.
Spreading COVID by the sound.
Yeah, spreading COVID all over Greg's in Wolves, Wolverhampton.
I just coughed on the yum yums. You know that's right. Right, let's close out the show then with some Steve Nicol, or not, a variation of Steve Nicol.
We've laughed at Steve Nicol enough.
Who, ESPN pundit, hilariously doom-mongering view on life, hates football, hates joy.
Does like making fun of his wife, though.
Yeah. Is it his wife or someone else's wife that he set fire to her hair?
It was someone else's wife.
Yeah, that was it was some sort of party at Liverpool or something, wasn't it? Was it Glenn Hussein's wife?
I can't remember. Yeah. He set someone's wife's hair
for a laugh. So this is a man who clearly hates the mundane, likes to play with danger,
but someone torches
women's hair.
It was kind of an open Q&A thing on ESPN, and someone asked him if he could say purple burglar alarm.
Right.
And he can.
Yep.
But he said his wife couldn't, so they rang her.
Purple burglar alarm. That is quite a...
Purple burglar alarm. In the Scottish, it's quite difficult. But yeah, they ring up his wife. And they're like some schoolboys doing a prank call, which I really enjoy.
He needs like his own spin-off channel. Is it Dodgeball, where they have ESPN 8, the Ocho or whatever, when they're showing the Dodgeball tournament? We need ESPN Nickel, don't we? A special channel. Let's have a listen.
She can't see it. We've had this before.
She says it.
Honestly. Oh, could you only call her up?
Call her up.
No.
Let's call her.
No.
Let's see. What could possibly go wrong?
Ask her to say burglar alarm. Right.
Here we go.
Eleanor, can you say burglar alarm?
I know what to say, Stephen.
All right.
I've got nothing to do with this.
Hello?
Can you say burglar alarm for us, please, Eleanor?
Burglar alarm.
Thank you very much. I told you she couldn't see it.
Could you imagine having tea around their house?
That is good though. I like it as well that he's going, yeah, I know what to say, Stevie. You do the talking. Yeah, say this.
They didn't even say hello to her either. Just like
straight into
Eleanor,
it.
Say this. What we demand.
She does as well without question, bless her.
So you could ask her to say smoke alarm, but we've had them all taken out because I set fire to her hair all the time. Oh, dear. Well, is that it for propaganda for this week, then?
Yeah, that'll do.
Good. Right, well, we've got more propaganda. Brentford, do they have propaganda channels?
Besotted.
Yes.
And that might be it. I'm not sure. They'll have some American spin-off thing, won't they? Bees TV or something. There'll be another one.
Or a bus stop in Hounslow or something. That feels like it should be because that's their kind of badge of honour, isn't it, that they wear. That's what Chelsea sing about them. So we will...
I can't believe Chelsea sing anything about them, to be perfectly honest. Why are they bothered?
Fair point. We might sing some stuff about them, though, on Sunday.
We'll find some Thomas Frank stuff to talk about, if nothing else, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed. Right, so we'll return more propaganda in the wake of the Brentford game on Sunday, so we'll record that next Tuesday. It's all been thrown in the air, hasn't it, by this silly midweek game, which I really, really enjoyed under the lights. But that late night finish, yes, we can do without that. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll return soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.